You are now listening to the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show on Indy's Giant 90.9 from Indianapolis, the city of motorsports. Good morning, race fans, and welcome back to the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show. I'm your host, Landon Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly. Always joining me in the studio, Hank Williams Jr., long-lost relative, Jeremiah Penrod. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing all right. How about y'all?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Well, we have a lot of news to talk about today, folks, so let's just get right into it. I'm going to clap because I felt like it. Here we go. NASCAR is officially back this week. I am so excited, ladies and gentlemen. The Daytona 500 will be Sunday, February 18th. You can catch it on Fox at 2:30 p.m. from Daytona International Speedway. NASCAR's back, Jeremiah. It's great. It's amazing. NASCAR is finally back.
It's been a while.
Oh, yeah. It truly has been a while. And I'm really looking forward to this coming race season. But we're going to go over this week. There's going to be a lot of racing going on. It's going to be really exciting. It's going to be action-packed week for NASCAR. So we're just going to run through the schedule of this week. Thursday, February 15th. 4:05 to 4:55 p.m. ARCA Menards Series Practice. 5:05 to 5:55 p.m. NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series Practice. 7 p.m. NASCAR Cup Series Qualifying. That'll be the first dual race, which will be 60 laps at 7 p.m. 8:45 will be the second dual race for the NASCAR Cup Series, which will be 60 laps as well. On Wednesday, the NASCAR Cup Series will be going out for pole position. They'll be qualifying for pole position, and whoever qualifies first or second, they are guaranteed to start first to second for Sunday for the Great American Race, unless they have some engine issues that have to do, you know, work on the car that's unexpected, which then you'll go back to the rear field. But you're guaranteed to start first or second if you qualify first or second. The dual races, so if you qualify from second on back, your qualifying position does not matter because the duels really determine where you start the Daytona 500. So if you win a duel, I believe the first duel, you qualify third. You win the second duel, you qualify fourth. And then from so on, whoever finished second in the first duel will qualify fifth. Whoever finished second in the second duel will qualify sixth, and then so on throughout the entire field. Friday, February 16th at 1:30 p.m., ARCA Menards Series qualifying. Then at 3 p.m., NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series qualifying. 4:35 p.m. to 5:25 p.m., NASCAR Xfinity Series practice. Then 5:35 to 6:25 p.m., NASCAR Cup Series practice. Then at 7:30 p.m., the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series are back in action to kick off their season at Daytona with a 100-lap race on Friday, February 16th. Then Saturday, February 17th, 10:30 a.m. to 11:20 a.m., NASCAR Cup Series final practice. 11:30 a.m., NASCAR Xfinity Series qualifying. Then 1:30 p.m., ARCA Menards Series race, which will be an 80-lap race for these youngsters to kick off their season in the ARCA Menards Series. Then at 5 p.m., the NASCAR Xfinity Series will race 120 laps around the high banks of Daytona. Then Sunday, February 18th, the Great American Race, the Daytona 500, 200-lap event, will be at 2:30 p.m. And the Grand Marshal of this event is The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And I'm excited. I'm really excited. Jeremiah, are you excited or what? Are you ready for
I'm
this
I'm excited,
week, man?
But not as much as you. You're shaking violently like a chihuahua over there.
Sorry, man. I'm so sorry. I'm the adrenaline's, you know, rushing through my bones, man. So I'm just going to go over the Xfinity Series race and the start time and where you can watch this. Saturday, February 17th at 5 o'clock p.m., like I stated earlier. You can watch that on Fox Sports 1. NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series race, Friday, February 16th at 7:30 p.m. You can watch that on Fox Sports 1. Then the ARCA Menards Series race will be at 1:30 p.m. You can catch this on Fox Sports 1. It'll be an 80-lap race. And that is basically your entire schedule for this week leading up to the Daytona 500. But we're going to fast forward here. We're going to take a quick change from stock car racing to some around the world open wheel racing. This was from the motorsport.com. Authors Adam Cooper. Check this out on the internet. Daniel Ricciardo. Rivals will now take revamped Red Bull F1 team more seriously.
You know who they should really take more seriously?
Who?
Andretti.
Andretti, exactly. Formula One should definitely take Andretti more seriously.
Had to throw in the jab.
So, this AlphaTauri team has now been rebranded into Visa Cash App Red Bull F1 team. That's what it's been revamped to. Just let me explain. We'll get more into the article. But they're going from the AlphaTauri livery to now they're throwing it back to the Toro Rosso days. That's what this team used to be called, Toro Rosso, and would rock these beautiful red, white, and blue paint schemes. I believe they're in this article, so we're going to get right to it. This is what Daniel Ricciardo had to say about this rebranding of AlphaTauri. Here we go. How I feel about it is probably for the outside in. Other teams or people who think that it's just a Red Bull kind of junior team. It's a way for everyone to take us more seriously. I think it's a year where we feel we kind of stand on our own two feet. And we have some serious partners on board. And I think that massively beneficial for us as a team. The structure has changed a lot. A lot of new personnel coming in. And we are trying to really build something that's going to fight, obviously, we all hope for now, at the front of the midfield. Ricciardo says he likes the new look of the team with the car livery, harking back to the later Toro Rosso days, which is quote-unquote what I just read from the motorsport.com. Jeremiah, you could check out the livery on your phone. It's pretty nice livery. Mm-hmm. It's a throwback for sure. This is what Daniel Ricciardo had to say about objectives and targets for this coming season. We want to be fighting at the front of the midfield, he said. So if we're consistently a Q3 car, consistently getting points, top 10s, not just the odd race, maybe a 6th and then a 15th place finishing race, which that's the thing with Alfa Romeo, which is not Alfa Romeo anymore. It's Stake F1 team. And now Visa Cash App Red Bull F1 team. These were the junior teams of Red Bull and Ferrari. So these drivers would have good results. Let's say like a 6th place finish. And then the next race, they finish 15th, which is very inconsistent. And Ricciardo does not want to have that this season because AlphaTauri didn't have a great season last season.
No.
I think because consistency then kind of really shows that you have an understanding of the car and the team has a good grasp on it. And that can then help you go that step closer to the front. So consistency, that's what I'm going for so far. So, okay. Yeah, Daniel Ricciardo on his thoughts with the rebranding of the Visa Cash App Red Bull F1 team. The livery was awesome. I love the livery. Really amazing paint scheme.
Yeah.
Now we're going to get into some American open wheel racing. We're going to IndyCar. Yes, from NASCAR to Formula One to IndyCar. We're just bouncing all off the wall.
We are like an ADHD child.
Exactly. And that was a – didn't mean to make a Michael Jackson reference there, but he did release an album called Off the Wall. But anyways
– Got to throw that one in there.
Our friend Marshall Pruitt, Dale Coyne Racing closing in on 2024 drivers. This was posted by theracer.com. Where transporters due to move into the St. Petersburg paddock in 4 weeks, the clock continues to wind down on the launch of a new season while Dale Coyne Racing is the last NTT IndyCar Series team to declare its 2024 drivers. 9 of IndyCar's 10 full teams have signed and declared their drivers for the upcoming season, and according to the veteran team owner who runs his two-car program out of Plainfield, Illinois, their identities could be known in a matter of days. Reading quote by quote, Marshall Pruitt and theracer.com. This is what Dale Coyne had to say. We tested Jack Harvey and Noah Siegel down in Homestead Miami Speedway, and we've had Jack in the simulator this week, and that went really, really well, Coyne told Racer. We learned a lot about him, and that was pretty interesting. But is there anything finalized yet? No, but we are very close, I would say. By the middle of next week, I think we'll know exactly where we are at. So, Jeremiah, what are your thoughts on Dale Coyne and his future drivers?
I think he's doing the right thing about not saying who exactly it is, because then it gives other teams an idea of what he's going to be running, what the strategy is going to be, simply because of the past strategies of those racers. About the one, about that is going really, really well. Jack Harvey. But that there's nothing finalized. I know he's hinting at something, but at the same time, it's like, hey, we don't know. I might have an ace up my sleeve. I might not.
I'd love for Jack Harvey to get this ride at Dale Coyne Racing to kind of revive his career. He didn't have a great season last season with Ray Hall, Letterman, Lanigan Racing, and it was kind of a down year. So hoping for the best for Jack Harvey to kind of revive his career. Another driver that has not really been talked about with Dale Coyne Racing is Devlin DeFrancesco, which he brings a lot of sponsorship. And Dale Coyne Racing, he likes a sponsorship. Mm-hmm. He likes that sponsorship. If you're going to at least race in one of his cars, you have to have some funding to back it up with.
Yeah.
And Devlin
in case you wreck it.
And Devlin DeFrancesco brings a lot of funding. He brought a lot of funding when he was with Andretti Global the past two seasons. And he
brought up the name.
Yeah, I know. Jeremiah's about to cry. But anyways, I'm just surprised that Devlin DeFrancesco has not been talked about enough, because he brings quite a bit of funding and would help Dale Coyne Racing a lot. In previous seasons, Coyne often paired a veteran driver with a rookie driver, which could make someone like Jack Harvey, who made his IndyCar debut in 2017, a prime candidate to consider for one of the seats. Coyne also prefers, we just mentioned this, to have his drivers bring some funding to offset annual operating expenses for the car, which in Harvey's case could come with the need for the Briton to raise a few million dollars to offer the team. That's what I'm talking about. Dale Coyne Racing likes to have funding with their drivers, which helps back up the costs for these cars to run during the season. So Jack Harvey could really be a serious candidate if Dale Coyne Racing wants a veteran driver in his car.
Mm-hmm.
And Noah Siegel, on the other hand, for Siegel, his plans are already set for 2024 with HMD Motorsports in the Indy Next Series, where he's expected to vie for the championship during his sophomore season. Is that what he say it? Vie?
Vie?
Okay. But if the rumors are true, the teenage Californian could already be scheduled for his IndyCar debut with Dale Coyne Racing in 2025. Although Coyne wouldn't be drawn on the topic, he was clearly impressed by Siegel's performance during his first IndyCar test.
I must say, that's a very interesting way to spell Coyne.
Yep.
Anyways.
But interesting. That's very, very interesting. Noah Siegel, he's already planned to be racing for the Indy Next Series next season with HMD Motorsports, but Mr. Dale Coyne is very impressed by his first IndyCar test. Possibly Noah Siegel, could he make the jump from Indy Next to Dale Coyne Racing in 2024? Is he going to race for HMD Motorsports in the Indy Next Series and then possibly Dale Coyne Racing in 2025? We don't know yet. There's still a lot of drivers to be considered for these two seats at Dale Coyne Racing. We will just have to wait and see, folks. More IndyCar news. Kyle Larson encouraged by getting more uncomfortable at the Phoenix test. Last week, Kyle Larson was out testing at Phoenix Raceway with Arrow McLaren, which will be making his first Indianapolis 500 start, the 108th running of the greatest spectacle in racing, on May 26th. Here are some quotes and just news. This was posted by themotorsport.com by Joey Barnes. On Monday, Kyle Larson stepped into an Indy car for the first time in 2024 and pounded 172 laps around Phoenix Raceway.
Nice.
So he was getting after it. Mr. Kyle Larson was getting after it. The test was moved up by a day due to the impending threat of rain, which forced Larson to get my mind right to prepare myself for that. That was a quote by Kyle Larson. Here's some more quotes from Kyle Larson. Got 3 or 4 hours in of laps, I think 5 sets of tires. Yeah, it was good to run through some things, get comfortable out here making laps, but get to do some pit stop stuff. So Kyle Larson just really getting the whole routine down for what he needs to know and do in the 108th running of the Indianapolis 500. And something even more encouraging for Larson happened on the final run of the day when he began searching for the limit. I almost spun out, so I'd like to think I did, he said, smiling. Kyle Larson. I mean, he, open wheel dirt car driver, I mean, he's always pushing it to the limit in those dirt cars. You're always lap after lap after lap really pushing your cars to the limit, so...
So much mud up under there. It's got to make the mechanic cry.
Oh my goodness. The car is just moving all over the place. Your track is slick. So Mr. Larson laughing because he said, I almost spun out, so I'd like to think I did, because he's pushing his car to the absolute limit. And
he found where that was at. And
because that's what he does. That's what he's grown up doing, is racing these open-wheel dirt cars. And he's always pushing it to the limit, lap after lap after lap. And that's why he's such a great NASCAR Cup Series driver, and why he's getting this opportunity to race in the Indianapolis 500, because he's such a great driver.
Yeah.
And you don't think he's going to be needing to push it to the limit in the Indianapolis 500? Well, then you are wrong, because when it comes down to crutch time, you're going to have to be pushing your car to the absolute limit.
He will find the limit of himself and other drivers and exploit that.
Yep.
I guarantee it.
Yep. After doing several short runs and continuing to learn the adjustments, Larson was already feeling understeer in a Chevrolet-powered car. Even so, he went out for an extended run that began on a different air pressure setting and was mentally prepared to gradually return to a tighter sensation, which he quickly felt instead was oversteer, and tried to fix the balance with the in-car tools, such as the weight jacker, but it was too late. So in these Indy cars, you have certain tools you can use to adjust the car on these digital steering wheels, and there's a bunch of buttons, bunch of toys in the car that you can adjust your car to your liking, like the weight jacker, for example.
Yeah, much technology.
Yeah, there's a bunch of technology.
Versus NASCAR, just pop the wheel off.
Yeah, I mean, they have digital dashes now, but I mean...
Still can pop the wheel off.
Yeah, just got caught off guard a little bit, Larson said, from the test where he had his air pressure setting low and was...
Almost spun out.
And the car returned to a tighter state, and he eventually felt understeer. So that was the quote from that. I had some warnings a few laps before I went into turn number one. Got a little loose into the corner. Got to the apex as I was leaving the bottom. It just started to get sideways. Was able to catch it. Honestly, though, nothing about yesterday felt way different than what a next-gen NASCAR Cup Series car feels like. That was good for me. I think the characteristics of the IndyCar versus the Cup Series car, at least at Phoenix, felt very similar. You were just going a lot faster in an Indy car.
Yeah, no crap.
Well, I'd hope so.
A lot lighter. I would most definitely hope so.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're getting lapped.
The moments happen a lot quicker. The edge of good versus not good feels a lot sharper.
It didn't feel way, way different.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah, it didn't feel way, way different than what I was, I guess, used to. Even with... those moments of getting sideways, it didn't feel way different. So Kyle Larson compared his NASCAR Cup Series car to an Indy car. Didn't really feel any different when he was testing at Phoenix, of how the car gets loose and tight as the runs go on. And other than the Indy car, it's just a lot faster. So that's big for Kyle Larson, that he continues to have that confidence and doesn't really feel that there's any difference between his NASCAR Cup Series car when he's racing at Phoenix, when his car gets loose or tight, or when he was testing a way lighter and faster open wheel Indy car around Phoenix, and when it gets tight or loose. So that's big time right there.
Yeah.
The most encouraging element of that incident, though, was Larson recognized he is inching closer to extracting the maximum out of the car. Additionally, he thought there was more speed left on the table. That's scary. I'm scared. I'm scared now. And it's only, it's February, guys. It's a few months till the greatest spectacle in racing. It's only February 12th. If Kyle Larson can keep
find
on,
more speed.
Yeah, find more speed and keep on getting closer and closer to maximizing the most out of that car, he's going to be looking very scary coming May for the Indianapolis 500.
Scary.
Yep.
With the exaggerated S.
Yep. So, yeah, that's huge for Kyle Larson. That's big time. That's, if he can get that car closer and closer to the maximum limit.
Good for him.
Yeah, it's going to be, and it's only February 12th. We still have a few months till May. He's going to be looking pretty scary come May. That was me, I think, being confident, committing to the throttle, knowing and trusting that the car was going to stay gripped like mostly off turn four, probably, he said. So he was trusting the car. He's feeling confident and committing to the throttle, and he's knowing and trusting the car, and that's big time. That's huge for Kyle Larson. He seems very confident in his first IndyCar test. I felt like when the car was gripped up, I was close to optimizing it. I would like to think it's so hard to say when it's just me out there. I wish there could have been one other guy there that I could judge myself off of, look at data, and compare, because he was the only car testing at this test. With no one else participating in the test, Kyle Larson and Arrow McLaren team could only compare data from the last time IndyCar had ran at Phoenix Raceway in 2018. So it's hard to compare data off from a car that ran in 2018 compared to 2023.
Well, I mean, the chassis are still the same.
Still the same, but I'm just saying there's still different.
Yeah.
I mean, different
slightly
cars,
different tech, yeah, on the inside.
There's some different tech. There's got to be some different stuff. I mean, if he would have had at least Alexander Rossi, I mean, that could have helped him a lot because he's raced at Phoenix Raceway in the past. He's a driver for Arrow McLaren, and he would have helped out a lot, brought that experience. If he was with Kyle Larson, giving him pointers and comparing Rossi's data to his data when he's running, would have just helped Larson, but no one was at the test.
Yeah.
Kyle Larson will be the fifth driver to attempt the double, which the double, ladies and gentlemen, is running the Indianapolis 500 and the Coca-Cola 600 at Charlotte Motor Speedway on Memorial Day weekend. So that's basically the double-double right there. NASCAR Cup Series driver comes and races the Indianapolis 500. We'll hop on a plane or a helicopter to Charlotte Motor Speedway, get in a NASCAR Cup Series car, and race the Coca-Cola 600. That is 1,100 miles that Kyle Larson will be racing in one day.
Yeah.
And Tony Stewart talked about how he had to have a few IV fluids after running the Indianapolis 500, and then he's going to run the Coca-Cola 600. I mean, Kyle Larson is definitely going to need to be prepared for this 1,100 miles of racing on Memorial Day weekend.
Oof.
The last to run at the marathon was Kurt Busch in 2014, but Tony Stewart's the only driver to complete all 1,100 miles, and that was in 2001, which was 23 years ago. Oof. Kyle Larson is expected to be back in an Indy car in the Indianapolis 500 open test on April 10th and 11th, the final chance to refine any little details before embarking on his maiden month of May at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So That's Kyle Larson news and his open test. We're going to keep on with the IndyCar news, and then we're going to take a quick break coming up. What's up?
Want to do the legal?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll get that legal, and thanks for reminding me. You're listening to WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis. This is the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. We're currently talking about IndyCar news, and I'm with my co-host Jeremiah Pinron and myself, Landon Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly.
It's always good to be with yourself.
True. This was posted by Marshall Pruitt and theracer.com. 2024 Indy 500 entry list almost complete. And assembling all of the season-long entries that will be Indianapolis 500, 27 spots are already accounted for to make a debut in the Indianapolis 500. This is across IndyCar's 10 full-time teams, with the starting grid capped at 33 cars, at least six spaces to fill before bumping enters the conversation. And it's here where the 2024 edition of the Indianapolis 500 will feature at least two bouts of heartbreak, as a few entries are guaranteed to fail in their attempt to qualify for the greatest spectacle in racing.
It's okay. Not everyone can be part of the greatest.
This is teams and drivers that are going to have extra entries, and teams that are looking to put a driver in their other entry to try to qualify for the 2024 Indianapolis 500. So we know Meyer Shank Racing and Helio Castroneves, they're going to have a third car, which Helio Castroneves will be driving the number 06 Honda. Try to go for win number 5 in the greatest spectacle in racing. Ray Hall, Letterman, Lanigan Racing, on the other hand, which is yet to confirm another driver entry for the Indianapolis 500. They are a 3-car team. They would have a 4th car in the Indianapolis 500. And this has been yet to confirm. It's understood to have Takuma Sato as their added entry. Possibly Takuma Sato as their added entry for the greatest spectacle in racing. Takuma Sato trying to go for win number 3 in the Indianapolis 500. And That'd be a big signing for Ray Hall, Letterman, Lanigan Racing. Building on the number 32 Able Motorsports, which made its Indianapolis 500 debut in 2023 with RC Anderson, is headed back with the Floridian and the same number 50 Chevy. He used to stun the series by easily qualifying for the race, and in a new team wide alliance with Cusick Motorsports, Dreyer and Reinbold Racing has its strongest lineup. Indianapolis 500, I think this is one of the most underrated lineups for the Indianapolis 500. This team could really be looking scary come the month of May and the Indianapolis 500 with 2014 Indianapolis 500 champion, NTT IndyCar Series champion, Ryan Hunter-Reay with the Indiana native. He has always been fast at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and the Indianapolis 500. Connor Daly, looking really, really scary. So, yeah. Age 8 Foyt Racing is where interested drivers and co-entrants have focused their energies for months. But so far, the right deal, one that meets the team's financial needs, has not been forthcoming for Age 8 Foyt Racing. According to Team President Larry Foyt, the window of opportunity for someone to claim its third entry in the Indianapolis 500 will remain open, but not for long. It's very, very interesting. Very interesting there. So, not sure who AJ Foyt is going to put in for his third seat at AJ Foyt Racing. Not sure what the team's going to do about that. Here are some honorable names: Stefan Wilson, J.R. Hildebrand, Catherine Legg, and Noah Siegel were mentioned over this last month. So, interesting there. And there's another team that has been mentioned, maybe with possibly a third car, is Dale Coyne Racing, and its engine provider is Honda. But however, with Dale Coyne Racing and talking to team manager Mitch Davis, Coyne has made it clear to his group that running an additional car is not of interest for 2024 in the Indianapolis 500. Moving on to some more IndyCar news. We're going to take a quick break after this. Arrow McLaren announced their 2024 liveries. You can find these on IndyCar, on NBC, on Instagram. You can find it on IndyCar on Instagram. You can find it on Arrow McLaren on Instagram, X. It's on social media, people. Go on Google, just search up Arrow McLaren 2024 liveries, and they're looking pretty awesome. I really like the paint
schemes. Yeah, that's what I've been looking at for the past couple minutes now, just the difference.
Paddle Award, his livery looks pretty nice. David Malukas' livery,
blue and orange.
Is blue, orange, and a little bit of black. A
little bit.
And Alexander Rossi's is my favorite. I think that's my favorite with the black.
It just looks
yellow
sleeker.
And white. It looks really nice.
Its base color is white. Then it's got orange on it, and then like a black undertones.
Paddle Award's car is just black and orange. But I love Alexander Rossi's scheme. I really do. I love
the
look.
It's very nice. Sleek.
It looks really nice.
I mean, they all look sleek, but like for some reason, this one, it's the white. Like,
it gives me
white
old
body.
School. It gives me like new school and
new old.
New, yeah, like it gives me future generations of Arrow McLaren and just the McLaren brand
in motorsports.
Mixed in with 90s McLaren and Formula One with Ayrton Senna and Alan Prost with the white. I love the white. I think the white's a good touch. And I like the orange, too. It gives me the papaya orange is just beautiful.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. And that's my favorite scheme of the Arrow McLaren group. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we're going to take a quick 30-second break here on the All Gas and No Breaks radio show. When we come back, we're going to talk about some NASCAR news. Yes, we're going to get back to some NASCAR news.
Took us long enough.
Yeah, it took us from starting the show off with NASCAR to Formula One to IndyCar. We'll get back to some NASCAR news because we have a lot to discuss about NASCAR. Quick 30-second break here on the All Gas and No Brakes radio show.
What kind of help does the IRS have for identity theft victims?
If you suspect you're a victim of tax-related identity theft, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn how to prevent potential refund fraud and protect your tax account. At the IRS, combating tax-related identity theft is a top priority, and we are committed to prevention, detection, and assisting victims. And we're working with law enforcement to catch the criminals. For more info, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn what the IRS is doing to help protect you.
Welcome back to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. I'm your host, Landon Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly. It is currently 8:10 a.m. on this Monday of February 12th, joined by Hank Williams Jr.'s long-lost relative, Jeremiah Penrod. Jeremiah, we have some NASCAR news to discuss. Let's just dive into it. Mm-hmm. Spire Motorsports has signed 21-year-old Rajah Carruth to drive for them full-time in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series and the number 71 Chevy Silverado. I've met Rajah Carruth. He's a great guy, great person. I mean, I met him at Homestead Miami Speedway. He brought that energy. He was talking to my buddy Chase and I. We were at Homestead.
Chase Elliott?
No, not Chase Elliott. Chase Carter. Great, great, great young man. And we were at Homestead Miami Speedway, and we were just walking. We had our big posters, our autographed posters for the drivers to sign. Here comes Rajah Carruth, and he's like, "What's the word, guys?" And he's just getting all excited. I'm like, "I love this guy. This guy's awesome, bringing the energy and everything." Like that's what it's all about. That truly is. With the fan interaction with the drivers, that is what it's all about. I mean, he made two young men's day by being excited and energetic when greeting them. That's what it's all about. But
of course, one of those two was you.
Yeah, of course. I'm 18 now, which is pretty insane. I'm an adult, but
yeah.
anyway,
join the club.
I know. But congratulations to Rajah Carruth and getting this opportunity to race full time for Spire Motorsports in the Craftsman Truck Series. I'm really excited. More news. Daniel Suarez will be racing double duty at Daytona National Speedway this weekend. And...
yeah.
Weekend. Yeah. 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 He'll be racing double duty. Yeah. And... he'll be racing, Jeremiah. Yeah, he'll be racing double duty for Colleague Racing, the NASCAR Xfinity Series, with sponsorship from Wendy's.
Nice.
Yep, Wendy's.
Fresh, never frozen.
Yep, yep, from Wendy's. And this car will be fielded by SS Greenlight Racing. So, congratulations to Daniel Suarez and Wendy's for making this possible. More news, Zane Smith will return back to the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series with McAnally Hilgman, Bill McAnally Hilgman Racing in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series.
McKinley?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And he'll be making four starts in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series in 2024 at Las Vegas, Bristol, Kansas, and Texas.
Nice.
Yep. Natalie Decker will attempt to qualify for the NASCAR Xfinity Series race at Daytona National Speedway, driving for DGM Racing. Nice Motorsports, Ross Chastain, Johnny Sauter, a past champion in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series, Caden Honeycutt, and Connor Mozak will split driving duties behind the wheel of the number 45 Chevy Silverado for Nice Motorsports.
All of them for one car.
Yep, we'll be making multiple starts. Ross Chastain won a few races with Nice Motorsports. Johnny Sauter, it's great to see him back in the mix in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. Glad he's making a return. It's pretty exciting. Joey Gase Racing, actor and professional racing car driver, Frankie Muniz. If you don't know Frankie Muniz, he was from the show Malcolm in the Middle.
Dude has some seriously blue eyes.
Yeah. Will attempt to make his Xfinity Series debut at Daytona National Speedway this Saturday for Joey Gase Racing. I'm so sorry. And will run a limited schedule with the team.
I mean, like, my eyes are blue, but dang.
Yep. Man, my sinuses are killing me, bud.
Sorry about
that. It's all good, dude. It's all good.
It's probably me from last week.
It's all good. The
week before.
Here we go. More Formula One news. Fernando Alonso could soon appear on Mercedes radar as Lewis Hamilton's replacement. This is according to SportsIllustrated.com. This is very interesting. There's a high probability that Aston Martin driver Fernando Alonso, two-time Formula One champion, could soon appear on the Mercedes team boss Toto Wolff's radar for 2025 as a replacement for Lewis Hamilton. I'm all for this. I truly am all for this. I'd love to see Fernando Alonso be competing for championships, podiums, and race wins. I would love to see that. He's over 40 years old, but he's still got it. I mean, the pace is still there. That Aston Martin car last season, it was remarkable. Out of the first 8 races, he was on the podium 6 times. Unbelievable.
Hey, that is very good.
Yep. So, after last week and Lewis Hamilton announcing he'll be joining Ferrari in 2025, Mercedes looking for a driver to fill in for that seat. Alonso strategically positioned himself for a possible move to Mercedes, leveraging his influential manager, Flavio... man, I'm going to butcher this.
Briatore.
There you go, Briatore. With Mercedes opting for a patient approach to driver selection. Alonso's candidacy could gain traction, fueled by his impressive performance with Aston Martin, which I mentioned earlier, including 6 podium finishes in the first 8 races of last season. So, yeah. Moving on, Haas F1 team and their VF24 hit the track last week at Silverstone. Nico Hülkenberg was the driver who started the initial test for Haas last Sunday at the Silverstone track, the British Grand Prix venue, which also marked the start of a new era for the team following a winter team manager change. So that was very
words.
Yep. So Haas had a test. IndyCar enters partnership with trading card company Parkside Collectibles. So if you are a fan of collecting sports cards, football, basketball, baseball, and now racing cards really making a big step in popularity, especially Formula One cards. Formula One cards are huge. And NASCAR having trading cards, and now IndyCar's having trading cards. So if you're an IndyCar fan and you like to collect cards, well, here you go. IndyCar is now partnering with a trading card company, Parkside Collectibles. Parkside Collectibles and IndyCar announced a three-year deal with IndyCar fans to heighten the experience and collectors worldwide. This was from Motorsport.com. Author's Joey Barnes. The inaugural collection of trading cards is set to launch March 1st of 2024 and will redefine the fan experience while celebrating the athleticism, skill, and captivating narratives throughout IndyCar.
According to the press release.
Several items of this exclusive set will also include opportunities for signed memorabilia. Each set offers the chance to win a four-pack racing experience to the Indianapolis 500, complete with tickets. Additionally, a one-of-a-kind 2024 Indianapolis 500 autographed helmet will also be available for fans to purchase on-site at races and retail card stores and online at ParksideCards.com.
That's going to be expensive.
I'm all for this. This is awesome. This is freaking sick, man.
This is definitely a good way to get someone.
This is definitely hyping up these IndyCar fans for the 2024 season. I mean, you're talking about here a Indianapolis 500 autographed helmet, a chance to win a four-pack racing experience to the Indianapolis 500 with tickets. I mean, that's a pretty big deal right there. And signed memorabilia.
Okay, but hear me out for the next bit of information you didn't tell me.
You want to do that? You want to do the honors? You got it, buddy. Do the honors.
Okay, so Kelsey Ballerini and Eric Church added to the concert lineup for the IndyCar race weekend at the Iowa Speedway. I did not know about this, but I do now. Definitely going to be tuning in to watch that because I love Eric Church.
Fun fact, I am trying so hard, so desperately to get tickets for the doubleheader at Iowa Speedway. I'm trying so hard. I'm going to try to go. See if you'd like to go.
Grab two tickets.
Grab two tickets. Jeez Louise, I cannot speak today.
It's all right. I'm probably not going to be able to either.
With all my buddies and I, we go down to, well, we go to, not down to, we go to Iowa. Over to Iowa.
Just a vertical formation.
Going to Iowa to watch IndyCar. Post Malone will also be performing as well. So, yeah. Kelsey Ballerini and Eric Church are joining a great concert lineup for the Hy-Vee IndyCar race weekend at Iowa Speedway with artists Luke Combs and Post Malone.
Luke Combs.
So it's going to be a great
Luke Combs,
set of artists. Yeah.
Luke Combs is scheduled to perform on July 13th before the start of the race of the doubleheader. And Eric Church will perform after the IndyCar race.
Yep. And Kelsey Ballerini is scheduled to perform on July 14th after the final IndyCar race of the weekend with Post Malone closing the event.
Okay. It's a pretty good setup there.
Yeah. So.
Ooh. If Luke Combs and Eric Church
get this. If you buy tickets for the doubleheader at Iowa Speedway, the concerts are already included.
Oh. Nice.
With your tickets. So I might have to go. We might We're have
already
to go.
Included.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's a good deal though. I mean,
you get tickets, I'll get concessions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
ow,
sounds pretty awesome to me, buddy. Sounds pretty awesome. This was from CBS.com. 2024 Daytona 500 odds and predictions.
Ryan Blaney 12-1. Joey Logano 12-1. Brad Keselowski 12-1. Denny Hamlin 12-1. Chris Buescher 12-1. Chase Elliott 12-1.
William Byron 16-1. Kyle Busch 16-1. Bubba Wallace 18-1. Christopher Bell 20-1. Kyle Larson 22-1. Ty Gibbs 25-1. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. 25-1. Martin Truex Jr. 25-1.
Eric Jones 25-1. Ross Chastain 28-1. Austin Kendrick 28-1. Austin Dillon 28-1. Tyler Reddick 28-1. Ryan Preece 30-1. Alec Bowman 30-1. Chase Briscoe 30-1.
Michael McDowell 40-1. Josh Berry 40-1. Daniel Suarez 40-1. Carson Hocevar 55-1. John Hunter Nemechek 55-1.
Harrison Burton 60-1. Justin Haley 60-1. Jimmy Johnson 60-1. Sorry.
You're good.
Noah Gangston 60-1.
Gangston?
Gregson.
Noah Gregson.
I can't speak.
Hold on. Noah Gangster Gregson 60-1. Corey LaJoy 65-1. You got the last
one. Todd Gilland 65-1. Anthony Alfredo 75-1. David Reagan 75-1. AJ Allmendinger 75-1. Riley Herbst 80-1. Daniel Hemric 100-1. Zane Smith 100-1. Kaz Grala 100-1.
BJ McLeod 200-1.
200-1. Anyways.
Wow, here we go. Those are some odds, people. Those are some odds and predictions to win the 2024 Daytona 500. And Jeremiah and I will give our picks to win the Great American Race right after I go over this past Daytona 500 winners. 2023, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., 2022, Austin Cindric, 2021, Michael McDowell, 2020, Denny Hamlin, 2019, Denny Hamlin, 2018, Austin Dillon, 2016, Denny Hamlin, 2015, Joey Logano. I did not mention Kurt Busch or Dale Earnhardt Jr. because they are retired NASCAR Cup Series drivers. Five drivers have won the Daytona 500 that will be racing in the field, and that is including Jimmy Johnson as well, who's a two-time Daytona 500 champion. His most recent Daytona 500 win was in 2013. So last week, ladies and gentlemen, there was a poll on WBDG's X page, and this was the poll. Which type of driver will win the 65th running of the Daytona 500? Options were past winner, first-time winner, or underdog. There are 14 votes, and 57% of people said a first-time winner, 36% said a past winner, and 7% said underdog.
That kind of seems like the typical choice, you know. Very, very few people think the underdog, and then just when you think they're about to lose.
All right, Jeremiah.
They get second.
This is your okay. If you had to pick one driver to win the 65th running of the Daytona 500, which driver are you picking?
I don't know. It's kind of I kind of have it between some of the top ones there, that being Ryan Blaney, Logano, and Hamlin. Not really sure who, but based off of the past, I know you're angry with me.
Just pick one. Just got to pick one driver. You pick one driver. Actually, I'll give you two. I'll give you like a big realistic chance winner and a
who I'd like to see.
Like an underdog or who you'd like to see and who you know really think is going to win the Daytona 500. Or we can do three picks. You can do underdog and your two picks.
I don't know. Well, I'll just pick one from the three I said.
Okay, here.
Probably going to be Hamlin.
You feeling Denny Hamlin vibes?
I am feeling a little bit.
I mean, he has the most wins out of the field for this great American race with three Daytona 500 wins, 2016, 2019, and 2020.
Yeah.
He wins the fourth Indianapolis 500. He'll be tied for the most Daytona 500 wins with Cale Yarborough with four.
Yeah.
Which is pretty huge. I'm pretty sure he has the most Daytona 500 wins. I might be wrong. We might have to fact check. I know that he would have became the first driver to three-peat in Daytona 500 wins if he would have won in 2021. He became the first driver, which Cale Yarborough won three Daytona 500s in a row. So you're feeling Denny Hamlin vibes.
I will definitely be watching him a little bit closer.
I mean, you can't count out Denny Hamlin on a restrictor plate. Mm-hmm. Racetrack. He's always strong, especially at Daytona. He knows his way around the track. I mean, he's won three Daytona 500s.
Yeah.
Only thing missing from his resume is a NASCAR Cup Series championship, which hopefully he wins at least one. I mean, three Daytona 500s and doesn't win a NASCAR Cup Series championship.
It's a little...
Yeah. All right. Here's my pick.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Sparks about to fly.
This is my... best case scenario, dream scenario, media going crazy, insane, absolutely off the wall.
Is it the dinger?
No, it is not Amendinger. The number six Ford Mustang for Roush Keselowski, Fenway Racing, will return to Victory Lane in the Daytona 500 with Brad Keselowski, and Brad Keselowski will break his curse at the Daytona 500 and will finally win at Daytona 500. That is my pick, and the sixth car will be back in victory lane for a first time in a very, very long time for RFK Racing. That is my pick.
Nice.
And I'm sticking to it. I love the whole media side of this. I think it's just a great story. And, you know, I'm doing it because not only for that, but my Nina and my Uncle Don are huge, huge. They were huge Mark Martin fans back in the 90s. They were huge when he was driving for Roush Fenway Racing.
Probably smack you if you didn't say him.
He was strong. I'm expecting both Chris Buescher and Brad Keselowski to be strong. I believe it was, I'm trying to think. Last season? They swept both dual races? I'm pretty sure. Was it last season? I'm trying to think. I don't know if they were trying. I believe it was last season. They both swept the dual races. And their cars were strong. They were very strong. Mm-hmm. Extremely strong. I don't think it was last season. I think it was the season before. Anyways, but
it'd be really cool to see.
It would be amazing to see that. And I'm expecting all Fords to be strong. I'm expecting all the Fords to be strong. They are strong when it comes to restrictor plate tracks. So I'm not going to count on any Fords. Another driver that I'd like to see win the Daytona 500 is to see Kyle Busch in Victory Lane.
Yeah, I was actually about to.
And see that 8 car back in Victory Lane for
grew up with
Richard
the M&Ms.
Childress Racing. That'd be a great story because I was so upset. I was watching the Daytona 500 with my Uncle Jeff, and here comes a caution flag on lap 199. And here we go. We're going into overtime, and Kyle Busch loses the Daytona 500. And I love Maxwell Gilley. That is one of my best buds. He said, I had a feeling that Ricky Stenhouse Jr. was going to win the Daytona 500, and he ended up winning. It was a Cinderella story, mm-hmm. Daytona 500 finish. And I was so upset. Realistically, it's Brad Keselowski and Kyle Busch are going to be first-time winners. One of those guys is going to win the 65th running of the Daytona 500. Do you have a long shot pick? Do you have a long, long, long shot pick? Who are you thinking long shot?
I don't know, but all I know is this is arguably the best car design that I've seen.
Oh, dude, you got to
go. Number 18 M&M car, Kyle Busch.
You have to go way back. There's some amazing paint.
I know, but from my childhood growing up watching, number 18, Kyle Busch in the M&M car. And I may have been a fat child.
That's funny. Some long shot picks to really look at to win the 65th running the Daytona 500. I wouldn't call them long shots by any means. Ryan Preece at 30-1. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had that horrific flip in the July race, and he, I mean, his blood vessels were popped out of his eyes. He made that next weekend. He made a return back to the track, traced the NASCAR Cup Series. He's strong on restrictor plates.
Yeah,
I know the Stewart Haas Racing cars are very down on the list. At Chase Briscoe at 30-1, you have Josh Berry at 40-1, you have Noah Gregson at 60-1. But I'm telling you, look out for these Stewart Haas Racing cars to be fast. Look out for them to be fast. Austin Dillon 28-1, he's a guy to watch out for. Austin Cindric 28-1, another guy to watch out for.
Both the Austins.
Michael McDowell 40-1, he's a Daytona 500 champion. He knows how to get it done at Daytona.
Yeah.
He won a race last season with Front Row Motorsports at the Brickyard to make it to the playoffs. So look out for him to be strong. Corey LaJoie, 65-1. He about won at Atlanta Motor Speedway a few years back. So look out for those guys to be strong. And you know what? Put AJ Allmendinger in there. Why not put him in there? 75-1. He's
the dinger.
The dinger. He's pretty good on restricted plates. But that's going to wrap it up for today's episode of the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show. I want to thank Jeremiah Penrod for being a great co-host, being on the show with me always. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. And let's cue up that outro, people. It is about time. It is about time. Here we go, people. If you miss a live episode of the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show, that's okay, because you can go to audioboom.com to listen to an episode you may have missed. The All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show is on every Monday morning from 7:45 to 8:30 a.m. with your co-host Jeremiah Penrod and your host Landon Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly. This has been the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show on Indy's Giant 90.9. You can tune in every Monday morning from 7:45 to 8:30 a.m. Big Nelly is out!